Praise the Lord. God is good. You're say all the time. The other day I was sitting and God said that his people are now going to experience the whiplash of righteousness. So that's what we're going to talk about tonight. I'm going to read, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2, verse 29. Father God, you're the one that spoke these words, so the anointing is already on them. And Father, I'm just asking that each one of your children's hearts are open wide to receive the word tonight. That your children, Father God, will grow by this word. And that your Holy Spirit will be here tonight in all of its fullness. Your angelic host is here, Father God, to meet each and every need. And Father God, I want your people to leave here different than when they came. You say you take us from glory to glory to glory. So every time we come together, Father God, we should go to another realm of glory with you. And we're believing for that tonight, Father. And Father, we thank you for it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, what God has taken us into, and I've said it before, but it's so awesome where we're headed to. And each day he tells me more and more about it, but it's one of the greatest adventures that we'll ever go on. And we don't want to miss it for nothing. So we just have to really just stay the course. Just keep believing God, trusting God, and doing what God's asking us to do. And quit allowing the enemy to make you go backwards. You know, keep moving forward. Do not allow the enemy to make you go backwards. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 29, says, Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. You see what it's saying? David would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne. Talking about Jesus. He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear. Talk about the Holy Spirit, all right? For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says himself, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the, you know, if you get baptized, repent, get baptized, then you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, Be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. Now, all who believed were together and had all things in common. In other words, everybody in this room, we should have all things in common. There shouldn't be any division among us. And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. See, that isn't what the church is today. We don't have a bunch of people in the churches being saved. We have a bunch of heathens that stay heathens. Right? You know, and they never grow. They never get saved. But in the book of Acts, it said that they added to the church daily those who are being saved. See, I know when I was younger, you stayed that altar boy till you were saved. And I got radically saved when I was very young. And they stood there and prayed over you too till the glory fell and you got saved. We don't see that today. Just repeat after me and you're saved, you're born again. That's not true. There's no repentance, nothing. Just repeat after me. What are you repeating after me? Are you listening here, guys? So what we need to do now is try to rectify what the church has done wrong all these years and start really seeing people saved, baptized, and filled with the Holy Spirit. God spoke to me and said at this given time, his chosen people were going to suffer the whiplash of righteousness. We are going to suffer because of our convictions of righteousness. But we must not buckle into the persecution. And one thing that just happened was that young lady who, that singer, I think she was a singer, who said, she came against so much sexuality. She didn't come against a person, she came against a sin, but look what's happened to her. And from what I read, there's a lot of people who are backing down. Well, the performers that were supposed to go to the inauguration of Trump, did you see the reason why they backed down? They're afraid that the persecution is going to follow. They're afraid that they're going to be shunned. And so they're not going to go to the inauguration in shame. I hope you're all praying and through the 20th of January, because a whole lot of bad things are being put together to try to destroy Trump's inauguration. And I said, and I felt like it was the Holy Spirit prompted me, it doesn't matter how many are there. God will be there. And that's all that matters. And it doesn't matter what's going on the outside and around about. Wherever they're at, God is with them. Even if there's just God in them. Because he's the man of the hour. And God will see to it that he gets what he deserves. Which is glory from God and not from man. That's what God just said. Amen. All right, God is with us and the enemy cannot touch us to destroy us. We have to remember that because of the persecution we're going to go under. We are shifting from Saul to David. We are shifting from Saul to David, not only in the White House, but in our own personal lives. We need to ask ourselves, does our life, based off of our actions and choices, habits and patterns, line up on the David side or the Saul side? We need to be searching ourselves every second of every day, which side we're on. If we are found on the Saul side, we need to repent and ask the Lord to bring us over to the David side. We need to understand that the remnant of Davids in this hour are being promoted, not the Sauls. We need to understand that the remnant of Davids in this hour are being promoted, not the Sauls. The problem is the body of Christ, they want the recognition, but they don't want to pay the price. God keeps telling that over and over and over again. They still don't want to pay the price. It's going to cost you to be a true child of God. It's going to cost you everything that you have to be a true child of God. You'll be another Job. So really, you have to stop and think, count the cost. Do I really want to go through what Job went through? Are you listening here? Do I really want to go through what Jesus went through? Do I want to go through what John the Baptist went through? Are you understanding this? Do I want to go undergo what Paul went through? This is what following Jesus is all about. A commander or a king. David had a heart after God. That is why the Lord promoted him, protected him, and anointed him. David had a heart after God. That is why the Lord promoted him, protected him, and anointed him. David did some dumb things, but God protected him, didn't he? David's a neat guy, I think. You ought to study David. 1 Samuel 3:19 says, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and let none of his words fall to the ground, which means void. And all Israel from Dan to Beersheba knew that Samuel had been established as a prophet of the Lord. Then 1 Samuel 8:4-20 says, Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said to him, Look, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now see that? Here is a prophet of God from birth. But they said, your sons do not walk in your ways. So guys, don't get all excited if you're following God and your children aren't, or your husband or your wife isn't. Like God told me, I called you. You know, he called me. He didn't call my family. He didn't call my spouse. He called me into to do the things I'm supposed to be doing. So I want you to get it in your spirit. And don't let people try to put me under condemnation for that. Don't do that. You know, you have to know that God called you. All right, so I said in verse 5, and said to him, look, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now make us a king to judge us like all the nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us. So Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, heed the voice of the people and all that they say to you. For they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. And when our other president became into office, before he did, God said, they want a king. I'm going to give them a king. And they're going to see what a king will do for them. According to verse 8 says, according to all the works which they have done since the day that I brought them up out of Egypt, even to this day with which they have forsaken me and served other gods, so they are doing to you also. In other words, I want to get a point across here. If you're a prophet of the Most High God, if you're anointed one of God, people are going to come against you. They're not going to agree with you. You know, the enemy's going to be in them, and the enemy's going to come against you, Your friends, who you think your friends are, you're going to find out not your friends, because they're going to try to get you to bow to what they believe. And when you don't bow to what they believe, then they're going to reject you. It's just that simple. See, you have to get all this in your spirit right now because of where God is taking us to, the deeper level of what he wants us to do, and the bigger demons that we're going to be encountering, and we're going to have to be able to stand. And stand firm. And verse 9 says, now therefore heed their voice. You know, God's telling Samuel, heed their voice. However, you shall solemnly forewarn them and show them the behavior of the king who will reign over them. So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who asked him for a king. And he said, this will be the behavior of the king who will reign over you. Now he's telling them what they're going to do, all right? He will take your sons and appoint them for his own chariots, and to be his horsemen, and some will run before his chariots. He will appoint captains over his thousands and captains over his fifties, will set some to plow his ground and reap his harvest, and some to make his weapons of war and equipment for his chariots. Now that he's going to take their sons to do all this, all right? Verse 13, he will take your daughters to be perfumers, cooks, and bakers. And he will take the best of your fields, your vineyards, and your olive groves, and give them to his servants. He will take a tenth of your grain and your vintage and give it to his officers and servants. And he will take your male servants, your female servants, your finest young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take a tenth of your sheep and you will be his servants. And you will cry out in that day because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves, and the Lord will not hear you in that day. Nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel, and they said, no, that we will have a king over us. What's going on right now? The ex-president thinks that people still want him as president. And there's people out there proving that they still want him as president, even though nothing has gone good in the government. We're no different today than we were back in Samuel's day. And the body of Christ, the true body of Christ, has got to stand their ground and face the enemy head on, knowing that God is with us. And we can't back down. Verse 20, that we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. Now I'm going to say something here, and I hope I don't get myself in trouble. Who was the Afro-American that got killed that was running for president? What was his name? Wasn't he running for president? Martin Luther King. What was his name? Yeah. Now he was a man of God, and he got killed. You know, and everybody wanted an Afro-American in office, so the devil gave them one. And look how, you know, they came against Martin Luther King terrible, if you really read about it. They did all kinds of, because that shows you he was a man of God. And he should have been the man of the hour, but the enemy took him out. Don't you people understand this? So you get your mind so messed up with what past ideas that you don't even see the truth in front of your face. And then what we just had, it really wasn't God's choice, it was people's choice. And what we're getting is God's choice, but it's God's choice, and the people don't want him, but they're going to get him anyhow. And God's will is going to be done. The body of Christ has got to come to grips with this, with reality. And we have to understand that God is God. And he knows exactly what we have need of. And let him do what he needs to do to get us where we need to go. You know, so if the economy drops, you'd say, well, see, you told you, you shouldn't have been in office. No, the economy was going down for 8 years. You know, and it's just going to fall. God told me out how long ago it was going to fall. It has nothing to do with the new president. It has to do with God's plan. So let's just back God's man of the hour. We back the people's man of the hour. And let's back God's man of the hour. And let's be the kind of people we're supposed to be. People of prayer. All right. So verse 19, go back to verse 19, Nancy. Said, nevertheless, the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, no, but we will have a king over us. Why? That we also may be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles. We make dumb decisions just on dumb reasoning. Come on. If you read this carefully, God asked Samuel to anoint Saul to be the commander. I wanted to point that out, and I didn't point that out. He wanted to be the commander, not the king, because he was not a king. He was a commander. Well, you know, if you read that, he did. He told him to anoint him to be a commander. Again, Samuel was, I thought that was interesting when I read that. Again, Samuel was the one who anointed David as king of Israel. Because God rejected Saul and provided himself a king among Jesse's sons. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? You know, this is after Saul did his dumb thing and lost his kingship. See, he could have been a good king or a commander, but he did a dumb thing. He thought he knew what to do, and he didn't know what to do. You and I are the very same way. We can lose our calling in God if we do dumb things. We have to do what God's calling us for to do, not what we think should be done, all right? Because really and truly, if you look at yourself, what you think should be done, and God didn't do that thing you wanted, you're glad he didn't do it now. Because you were wrong and he was right. He's always right. 1 Samuel 16:1 says, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I am sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. The cause and effect of Saul appointed as a commander and not a king was his reaction to David. Saul did not want anyone under his military command who was outperforming him. After all, Saul had only slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. You read his story, you see how jealous Saul was of David. We can't do that. We need to understand that God is removing and taking Saul out from positions of power and authority. In the government of the United States and around the world, as well as in the church establishment. If you look what's going on in the government and all around the world and other nations, and look at the church, God is really exposing a lot of things and tearing a lot of kingdoms down at this hour. God has been desaulizing us, and now it is crucial that as we find ourselves at the end of this waiting period, that we make the right choices and decisions and not lose all the years that the Lord has tested and desaulized us. Are you listening? God's been taking Saul out of us for quite some time now. Have you been yielding to what he's been doing in your life? The wait is over, and we have entered into a season of promotion. Are you listening? How long have you held on? And many times you wanted to quit, right? Many times you couldn't see how in the world it was ever possible for God to bring to pass what he promised. But he did. And now we're headed for one of the greatest things that God has ever done. We need to protect the provision. A David anointing understands spiritual alignment, spiritual protocol, the feast of the Lord, and seed time and harvest. It understands the ways of God. See, that's the problem with a lot of body of Christ. They do not understand the ways of God. And that's why we have riots and everything else in the street, because we do not understand the ways of God. You've been in church all your life, but what were you taught? You know, were you taught hate? Were you taught love? Were you taught wisdom and understanding? What were you taught? Let's read that again. We need to protect the provision. A David anointing. Do you want a David anointing? All right. And then it understands spiritual alignment, spiritual protocol, the feast of the Lord, and seed time and harvest. It understands the ways of God. See, what you have to do, you have to know the voice of God for yourself. First of all, you have to get really saved. Because you're hearing a voice isn't always the voice of God. And if you're not truly saved and you're walking in this here, I don't know what it is, you know, then the devil's going to talk to you. And he's going to make you believe it's God. And if you don't know the voice of God, you're going to believe the devil and you're going to do things that are wrong. So what you have to really do is say, God, I want to hear your voice and your voice only. I want you to take anything out of my ears that is not of you. And what's in your ears is your thoughts. It's your desires, your hopes, your dreams. Take it away, Lord, and all I want to hear is you. There's many times God speaks to me and says, God, I don't want to hear that. He said, no, you don't, but this is what you have to hear. You know, about situations in my life, situations in the church, in the work, whatever. But that's not what I want to hear, but it's what God wants me to hear. See, guys, you have to be big enough to hear what God, hear the truth that God speaks to you and accept it. All right? That's another problem the church has. We're not big enough to receive the truth. All right, now the heart of David wants to walk in the principles of protecting the provision. The Saul spirit does not care about provision and only cares about position. This is where your titles come in. You know, you just want all these titles in front of your name. What for? Them titles aren't going to take you to heaven. They're really not. God told me I don't like titles, even though he gives them to us, because he said man misuses them. 1 Samuel 23:5 tells us that David and his men found themselves in the mountains of Judah in Keilah, very near where Abraham was buried, where all of the commerce, all the grain and all the seed and provision, the banks of brokers and the tax collectors are located. That's where David and his men found themselves. Now, David saw that the Philistines were attacking the provision of Judah in Keilah. They were not only after the food, but also the seed. See, the devil's not only after you, he's after your seed. And if they took the seed, they would remove the people totally. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. You've got to protect your provision. You have to protect your anointing so it can pass on down to your children or the people who are in the church, whatever your position is. You have to protect that provision, that anointing. You understand this? I can't protect your anointing. That's your job. My job is to protect mine. Amen. I pray for y'all, and I hope y'all do, but I can't make you do what you have to do. You have to protect that. You have to pay the price. All right, a Saul spirit is incapable of celebrating in another success. A Saul spirit is incapable of celebrating in another success. And anything great that they did not cause, because if it is not done under their direction or their covering where they can take credit for it, they want to kill it. 1 Samuel 23:8. Then Saul called all the people together for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. See, Saul wanted to kill David really bad. Did you ever really read the story about Saul and David, how David wouldn't touch Saul for nothing? Didn't he even killed the men who killed them, didn't he? They come back bragging, oh, you know, they're dead, and then he killed them. He protected the anointing of God. He protected Saul. We don't do that. And look what Saul did to David all his life. Made him run like crazy until God finally took his life. But David wouldn't harm him. Remember, he was in the cave and he's cut off a piece of his robe. He said, I could have killed you, but all I did was took a piece of your robe. The body of Christ could learn a lot from that lesson, couldn't they? Really could. I remember when I was putting this together, I was thinking about when I first, I'm going to tell y'all something. You're all starting out in your ministries, right? You're all young in your ministry. You know, John the Baptist had his disciples, right? People who clung to him. Jesus had his disciples, right? Paul had his disciples. Peter had his. So you're going to have your disciples too. You're going to have a group. See, now I didn't understand this. Because God has anointed you and brought you forth for such a time as this, you know, in each one of those people's lives and in ours now. You're anointed. You're specially anointed by God. And people see that. God lets people see that in you. And then he will put people around you who love you, who pray for you, who protect you. Don't push them away the way I did. I said, no, you mustn't do that. You know, you mustn't pray for me like that. You mustn't be that close to me. Because I felt like they were trying to put me in place of Jesus. They really weren't. They were doing exactly what the disciples did to Jesus, exactly what the disciples did to John the Baptist. They were just protecting God's anointed one. Now, don't get all puffed up and prideful. But look at my followers. Don't do that. But God will send you disciples. He'll send you people to gather around about you, to pray for you, to keep you covered, and who will go the extra mile for you. I remember when I first started, these people came, and you know, I had a beautiful set of people, and I had to have surgery on my neck. Finally, I had to have surgery on my neck, and when I went into the hospital and whatever room they had me in, I looked. Everybody in the church was there. I said, "What are you guys all doing here? We come to pray over you and make sure everything was fine." They stayed there the whole time I was in the surgery that day, and they prayed. Now, I'm getting to a point here. Now, these people just love me to pieces. But when I married Larry, God told me everybody was going to leave, which they did. And then they scattered to different churches. And one of the people came back here with her pastor. And over the pulpit, I welcomed her and her pastor, and it was so wonderful they came and everything else. And afterwards, I went over to hug her. She said, "Don't you touch me. You're the devil." She said, I rebuke everything I ever learned from you. And that pastor said, "You should close this church down because you're not of God." And they both walked out. And I stood there devastated. But I'm telling you, people do this to you. Just like Saul wanted to kill David, and you know David was protecting him. That person then went around and run me down terrible. Because that pastor, I really believe because she was jealous. Because nothing was going on their church. So whenever her people, well, this family went there, then she put me down. And that family was the closest ones to me. And their whole family was walking under the anointing. Even their little small granddaughter could lay hands on people and they recovered. Whenever they were in the service. So this is what people was going to do to you. So get it in your spirit right now that even though they might love you one day, they'll hate you the next. They will open up their hearts and allow the enemy in to turn them against you. So please, I'm warning you. So when it happens, you can say, "Yeah, she said this is going to happen." Nobody ever told me these things. I didn't know anything. God said the Holy Spirit will teach you. Well, I learned the hard way. But I'm hoping that you can learn from my experiences and know how to handle things when they come up, all right? Because I always thought the body of Christ was a loving bunch of people, but they are not. They're a bunch of backstabbers, deceivers, liars. And I'm not saying anybody, but the majority of the body of Christ is like that. Why? Because they have not been taught properly. First of all, they weren't taught love. And then they weren't taught anything else. People just wanted heads. Every time I went to a pastor's conference, which I quit going, "How many people do you have in your church?" "Six." Everybody left the table. Nobody talked to me the rest of the conference. "How many times you went overseas and never been overseas?" "How much money does your church take in?" I said, "Just enough to pay the bills." They didn't want to be associated with me because I wasn't the elite. Are you understand? But God wanted to be associated with me. And that's all that matters. I quit going to pastor's meetings. I didn't need that. I had my Father. Amen. I wasn't out to prove what I could or couldn't do. All I wanted to do was let the Holy Spirit rule and reign. All right? I lost my place. 1 Samuel 28, is that where I'm at? 1 Samuel 28:5 says, "When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by the prophet." See that? When God left Saul, he left him totally and completely. Verse 7, "Then Saul said to his servants, 'Find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went. And two men went with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. And look what the woman said to Saul. Then the woman said to Saul, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice, and the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. What did you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disturbed me by bringing me up? Now, this whole story is fascinating to me. And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me. See, he called up the prophet from death to talk to him. And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, why then do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? You see this? When you disobey God and think you're greater than God and won't obey what the prophet of God was telling you, then you think you are God. And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. You have to obey God. For moreover, the Lord will also deliver Israel with you into the hand of the Philistines. And tomorrow you and your sons will be with me. The Lord will also deliver the army of Israel into the hand of the Philistines. Then immediately Saul fell full length on the ground and was dreadfully afraid because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten no food all day or all night. So you see what happened? He pulled up the prophet from the dead, and the prophet said, you're all going to die because of your disobedience to God. Now, are you going to be obedient to what God is calling you to do? Or are you going to walk in disobedience? That's a question to you tonight. If you want to live and do the complete will of the Father, then you've got to obey everything he tells you to do. The prophet told him, you have to kill everybody. Don't let anything live. But he didn't kill it. He didn't kill everything. He let things live. And to begin with, then he did other things before the prophet got there they shouldn't have done. You guys have got to understand that God is God, and he's in control. And you might try to kill the prophet, but God's not going to let you do that. You understand that? And if you are a prophet, then people are going to try to kill you by words and deeds. But if you're a true prophet and you're really being obedient to God and following with all your heart, they can't kill you. They might trample you about half to death, but they can't kill you because God won't allow that to happen. You might be like me sometimes, crying, God, just take me. He's, nope, you still haven't finished your job, you know? Come on. I'm here and so God said, you're going to have to man up and do the man thing if you really want to be my servant. In other words, suffer. Today, Saul's rivers are drying up. Right now, today, on the earth. Saul's rivers are drying up. The grace has run out and it's over. Didn't God tell us? He warned us for 2 years. I'm going to withdraw my grace. So get it together now. He warned us for 2 years. Then he said the grace is over. So the grace has run out. It is over. He is now the enemy of God. The Saul spirit is. The Lord is tearing the Saul spirit out of the church and giving it over to the David spirit. 1 Samuel 28:17 said, and the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Do not allow the enemy to cause God to take your kingdom from you. You're going to cry many, many nights. I'm going to tell you right now. You're going to lay there and cry because you're going to feel so betrayed, so lost, and so lonely. But cry out to God and just let him comfort you. Because he will. Because your friends are going to deceive you. I don't care how much they say they love you. They're going to deceive you. You know, if they're not fully God's, the enemy's going to get an inroad and they're going to deceive you. What you really need around about you is people who really, 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 really love you. And who have really sunk their teeth into the Word of God and have a foundation of love underneath them. And no devil in hell is going to be able to take them away from you, know, turn them against you. You hear me? Don't just gather any old thing next to you. There's many people come to you and say, oh, you know, I'm going to do this for you. God told me to do this for you and that for you. And they're gone. When they find out they can't control you, they weren't sent to control you. They were sent to help you. And whenever they find out they can't control you, and you're not going to make them number one totem pole, then they're going to leave. That's fact. I lived it. That's fact. Do you know how many times I cried out to God, God, it's just you and I. I just did that a couple months. God, it's you and just you and I again. It's just you and I. And God said, I'm glad you see that. Well, you can recognize that. I'm not saying people don't love me, but you know, there's just some things that just you and God can share. When you recognize the fact that it's just you and God, that he's silencing all those around about you, and he just wants you alone with him, then God starts moving. Then he starts talking really fast and really loud. But it's not until you realize, hey, you know, I can't be drawn on all these people. I have to draw on the Father. All right? How many times have I told you a prophet's life is a lonely life? You can't be out fellowship with everything under the sun. It's a lonely life. Why? Because you have to be in the Father's face. You have to be in his presence. You have to be hearing his voice. And you just have to be number one with him. I didn't say you couldn't go to dinner. I didn't say that. But you have to quit all this other dumb junk that you do. All right? Come on. The scripture says that a good man shall leave an inheritance to his children's children. You have eight children, and you have to leave an inheritance all the way to those children, and then their children, your children, and their children. You better work hard. All right, your plan as a leader, listen to this, I'm talking about a leader. Your plan as a leader, whether in business or in the church, should always be to expand your ministry to your sons and daughters. Now, I don't mean your blood. I mean the people in the house of God. It could be your children, too. But so your plan as a leader, whether in business or in the church, should always be to expand your ministry to your sons and daughters. Why? That they would go beyond you. And that you are not threatened by them being bigger, better, or having more success than you. And, you know, I always think about Joyce Myers, how, you know, she was in the church, remember, and then they asked her to be the Sunday school teacher. She was messed up, she tells you that. And so she became the Sunday school teacher, and she sold more tapes than the pastor did. And he said he got a little bit upset about it. He said, hey, you're more anointed than I am. Come on. That might happen to you. You might raise up you and your sons and daughters. I'm talking about the people that follow you. And all of a sudden, they have more anointing than you have. You don't become jealous of that. Because you're still you. You still have your calling. You still have your anointing. All right? And you're all shaking your head and grinning at me. But wait till you go through it. All right. Saul felt threatened because his anointing did not match his position. Saul felt threatened because his anointing did not match his position. The reason that people become jealous is because they do not understand their anointing and the meaning of the body of Christ. Come on. God has been looking for people with the heart of David. 1 Samuel 36 tells us that David strengthened himself in the Lord when everything was completely lost or for him. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6 says, tells us that David strengthened himself in the Lord, not in your neighbor, not in your cell phone. Mom, in the Lord, when everything was completely lost for him. In other words, when you're completely, deadly alone. And you feel like, I just went through it the other day. I said, God, I have nobody I can call and talk about this. He said, I'm still here. You can call me. Come on. You'll feel like that. And that's a good place to be. Because I think it's time we quit calling everybody and talking to everybody about a problem. I think it's time we just call on Jesus. We used to always say that, you know. Thou and up, or however that went. I forgot that song. But see, and we need to get back to that. You know, thou up Jesus and call him. And talk about your frustrations. Or just, you know, I just didn't, God told me something about what he's going to do to me. And I just had to, I felt like I had to talk to somebody so they could help me understand it. And I didn't have nobody I could call because they wouldn't understand what I was saying. They would have got upset with me. And God said, I'm still here. You can talk to me and I'll explain it to you if you like. See? How many of you want to call Jesus and let him explain it to you? Because y'all don't know what he's trying to tell me. If I tell you what he told me last night, y'all get up and walk out the room. So you don't understand spiritual things for somebody else. We understand what God's saying to us. But whenever somebody else comes up and tells you, who do you think you are? Come on, that's the truth. When God tells you something great, wonderful, boy, you're all puffed up. You know, guess what God told me, you know. And then somebody else comes and say, you know what God just told me last night. Then you go on to tell them, they'll say, well, you were puffing yourself up, weren't you? But it's all right when you was puffing yourself up. You know, you really weren't puffing yourself up. You're just telling what God said. All right? So sometimes it's better to keep things to yourself. Where am I at? Lost my place. There are those in the body of Christ who have the heart of David that are tired of being oppressed by the apostle Saul, the Saul spirit. Aren't you? Aren't you all tired of being oppressed by different pastors who keep trying to put you down? And they don't want you to go anywhere. I remember I was in a church and I told the pastor something that God told me, and he said, you sit down and shut up. Don't you tell that to nobody. I don't want you prophesying. I don't want you doing nothing. Just sit there. That's all you're sitting here to do is sit there. So God took me out of there. You know, I was being oppressed by Saul's spirit. Now look at this. People don't understand they're doing that to you, though. You can't look at the person and get upset with the person. They do not understand that a Saul's spirit has entered in to try to take away a David's spirit. They don't understand that. So don't put them down. You can shorten that season. Excuse me. I was talking about. All right, I said, there are those in the body of Christ who have the heart of David that are tired of being oppressed by the apostle Saul, the Saul spirit. You can shorten that season before your anointing comes into fruition if you will learn to trust in God. If you're sick and tired of being oppressed like I was, then shorten the period by just trusting God. Remember that everyone else will fail you, but God will never fail you. I remember one time that somebody split the church. It took everybody. Went on a Saturday night, and the next morning I went to church and had the church at home. I went down. We went downstairs to start church. Wasn't anybody there? Nobody came, and then this one man came. And God just put me over the pulpit, and I pointed my finger at him. And God said, "I didn't realize this is in Scripture." And God said, "Are you going to leave me too?" And the man stood up and said, "I'll never leave you." Next Sunday he wasn't there because the people left talked him into leaving me. He swore down he would never leave. Never, never, ever. See, so people would do that. And they really mean it with all their heart. But yet that Saul spirit gets in there and he works and he works and he works. He knows how to work and he'll cause people. And that poor man is still messed up today because he followed a Saul spirit. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8. Are y'all understanding anything here tonight? Are you getting anything out of this? Come on. 1 Samuel 30, verse 8 tells us that David learned that he could do nothing without the Lord, even at his highest sense of despair and hopelessness. We can do absolutely nothing without the Father. God is looking for those who will not quit, not retaliate against their enemies, and will not touch the Lord's anointing, even if they deserve it. Saul deserved anything David would have done to him, you know, in our eyes, but he wouldn't touch him. Just read that again. God is looking for those who will not quit, not retaliate against their enemies, and will not touch the Lord's anointing, even if they deserve it. So 1 Samuel 30:17 tells us David recovered all. And not only did he recover all, but he also took the spoils of the enemy. David is starting over with a new beginning and a huge transfer of wealth. If you can believe it, we are the Davids of this dispensation, and that's the truth. 2 Samuel 1:17 and 18 and 23 tells us the reason David was king was because he did not take revenge. Come on. Tells us the reason David was king was because he did not take revenge. His circumstances had burned out any vindictiveness. He went through so much junk, he saw, what's the use? I'll just go ahead and let you do what you want to do, God, right? Come on. If you are going to be a true king, priest, leader like David, you cannot wish evil upon your enemies. Come on. If you're going to be a true king, priest, leader like David, you cannot wish evil upon your enemies. So David lamented over the death of Saul and Jonathan. America is going through this upheaval because they are still looking for a Saul instead of a David. Men and women are acting in what appears to be a ridiculous way simply because of the ancient Saul spirit that has covered this nation. You know, come on. We are to be like David in times of trouble, and it is how we respond and the weight that would determine how we finish. Lord, I've waited a long time. You know? All right, so how did I wait? Sometimes I didn't wait very patiently. Sometimes I acted very rudely to God. You don't know what you're doing, God. Do you know I'm still here, God? How about all the promises you gave me? You know, I didn't do that nicely. I'm being honest with you. Come on. God, how many times do I have to go through this humiliation of people leaving the church? God, you're the one telling me what to preach. You know, he told me to do this whiplash of righteousness. You know, come on. And God, don't you understand that people don't like this? But if you're John the Baptist, second John the Baptist, who cares? Who likes what? Tell me right up front, daughter, you're the second John the Baptist. You know, the Lighthouse Church is. And you're going to become against. So get used to it. It took me 30 years to get used to it. I'm not used to ignorant people. I'm not an ignorant person myself, and it really bothers me, especially when I don't expect too much out of the body of Christ anymore. I love the body of Christ, but you know what I'm saying? The devil gets in there, and he uproots, and he does all kind of dumb things. I'm hoping that you're going to do everything, you know, that you promised God, and I'm hoping you're going to be everything God said you're going to be, but I'm not going to hold you to that, and I'm going to give you grace. Or, you know, we have to give everybody grace, right? And I don't do it begrudgingly. I give you grace to be who you are, to make your mistakes as well as you should give me grace to make my mistakes, is what I just said in a roundabout way. Amen? Come on. We are to be like David in times of trouble, and it is how we respond and the weight that will determine how we finish. This is a prophetic word given by Kurt Landry that I thought was really neat. I am releasing the anointing of David. It is time that David would arise. It is time that the remnant of God, which are the Davids, would arise and shine and let the light come. For the glory of the Lord is upon you. It is time, it is time, it is time. If you read some of the words of the day, these are all the words. Some of these are words of the day. For the Lord says, I am raising up the spirit of David, and I am releasing it through my ancient gates like I did in the time of David. And those who have suffered and have paid the price, I will anoint as my king priest, and there should be none like them, says the Lord. You see that? For I am releasing the anointing of David, and the Lord God himself will walk through the aisles and anoint you. God is looking for those who will inquire of him in every aspect of their lives, not moved by anger, grief, doubt, unbelief, or fear, but will always come to me and say, Lord, what shall I do? It took me 30 years to get to that point. So I'm giving you a lot of grace. Amen. But we don't have that. You don't have 30 years, though, is what the problem is. You really don't. You know, so God said, for those who have suffered and those who have paid the price, I will anoint as my king priest. All right, let's say that Adam and Aaron, they paid a price. They left home. Come to a strange state, strange people, because Delawareans aren't the same as Virginians. Are they, boys? Say no. They're friendly in Virginia, aren't they, guys? They're not friendly here, are they? No, they have weird ways here. And they had to leave their mother, their father, their life they knew, and move here. And they were excited at first, and they said, oh, God, what have we done? Don't tell me you didn't, because you thought that, I know, did you not? Every now and then say, God, I know you want me to do this, but come on. So they paid a price so they can receive the anointing of David. They can do that. They paid the price and they stayed. All right, for I am releasing the anointing of David, and the Lord God himself will walk through the aisles and anoint you. See, God himself is going to do this. God is looking for those who will inquire of him in every aspect of their lives. Everything that you do, you should inquire the Lord about. Not moved by anger, grief, doubt, unbelief, or fear, but will always come to me and say, Lord, what shall I do? See, I have a hard time. I don't think I'm a pastor, to tell you honest truth. I have a hard time when somebody's trying to make a decision. They'll say to me, Pastor, what do you think? And I have a hard time with that because it's not what I think. And I'll say, give me time to pray because I have to tell you what God says. Because you know, most pastors will sit you down and counsel you. Well, now, you know, they'll go through all these little steps, won't they? And then they'll end up giving you their advice. I don't do that. I have a hard time with that. I used to counsel people all the time, but I said, you know, I'm giving this thing up. Because, you know, that's my degree in counseling, too. But I said, these people, just all they want to do is rehash everything that they don't want to give anything up. They just want to keep talking about their mess. And God doesn't have time for that. So I quit counseling. If you want to know something from me, and sometimes some of you people have sent me emails, and then you send back, did you get my email? Yeah, I did, but I'm still seeking God's face about it. Sometimes he doesn't give me an overnight answer, does he, Grace? You know, I have to wait, and then I'll be sitting there doing something, and all of a sudden God will just start speaking about the situation I held up to him for a month. You know, God always has a perfect time for everything. I went to write Brother Allen an answer or something to him the other day, last night, and all of a sudden God started prophesying to him what he wanted to do. That wasn't my intention. I was just going to answer a question. So you see, God is God. He didn't even ask me for any advice. He just told me something that's going on, and I would just wrote back and said, wonderful, whatever it was. And God just started talking. So that's the way we have to be. We have to be so in tune to God, he can start talking anytime he wants to. In fact, I was writing a letter, and I found myself talking like God talks. And I said, no, that isn't going to work. And I had to reword the letter. I was writing it for somebody living in the house. That's not the way. They wouldn't understand what I just said. So, yeah, but I thought that was neat. That you're so in tune to God that you start talking like God. And I know that that's what God wants us to do. We're supposed to be just like Jesus, right? And how many of you write on your computers and your spell check just goes crazy, doesn't it? Because it doesn't understand God talk, does it? It keeps wanting you to reword it, write it differently, spell the word different. You know, and I just say, be quiet, go to bed. You know, you tell the computer because they don't understand, it does not understand God. All right, now I'll get back to my teaching here. For I have called David to arise and shine. How many times do we have to hear that scripture? He shall rise up and unify the church in the end time hour, for he has a double portion anointing of king and priest, which is a rare anointing. Now I want to stop there. This is what you all are supposed to be doing. For I have called David to arise and shine. He shall rise up and unify the church in the end time hour. We're supposed to be working on unity, guys. Not division, for he has a double portion anointing of king and priest, which is a rare anointing. And I'm going to tell you right now, all you leaders in here, trying to get people unified is hard. You have too many dumb ideas going around. I mean, unity is really one thing that's really hard to do with old guys. Now, you get these new guys, I can do anything with these young boys here. They just believe me for anything. I mean, they're in complete and total unity. But you get to older people, but sitting in the house of God, they have their mind set in a certain thing, and you can't change it for hardly nothing. You have to say, God, smack them alongside the head. I do that. God, I can't get through to them. Just smack them really good and rattle their brain a little bit. Get those brain cells going in a different direction because you're stagnant. I do say that. I'm being honest, all right? Because I want you to have everything that God wants for you. And I don't want you to sit there being in an old mindset when God wants you to have a brand new mindset. All right, we're talking about David here. And he will succeed in the church and in the marketplace. Everywhere you go, you're going to this David spirit will succeed. He will lead as a shepherd who shepherds his flock. Now, this is God speaking. Remember, this is a prophetic word. He shall not cut off nor attack Saul when he is in a cave or in a sheepfold. For he knows and has learned the lesson, touch not the Lord's anointed. In other words, you're not going to go around talking about people and run them down. All right? All right, he has learned the lesson, touch not the Lord's anointed, and he shall not touch them, for gentleness and kindness and meekness and the blessings of the Beatitudes are his, says the Lord, for he shall contain and enjoy the kingdom of God. Do you fit all that criteria? Then you're the man of the hour. If you don't, you know where you fall short, take it before God, say, all right, God, I have a short in this area and this area and this area. Straighten me up. Come on. We learned Friday night. Remember that teaching you gave Friday night? The reason David was not in his father's house when Samuel came looking for the one God wanted to anoint as king was because his father called him, is that Hakatan? Meaning worthless. And that means his father looked at him as worthless, not fit to be a king. And his father wouldn't even bring, because I read where all when a prophet came, all the sons were brought into the house. And the father didn't bring his son David into the house because he thought he wasn't worthy to be king. Do you understand how many of you sitting here tonight that the world, church world, does not believe you're worth anything, that God wouldn't use you for nothing? I'm telling you that because God told me I'm going to send to you all those that nobody else would do anything with. All the messed up ones, all the down and outers, the ones that other pastors won't ever raise them up to the position that God wants them raised into. I'm going to bring those type of people to you just like I did David, and you're going to raise them up, and I'm going to use them to preach my gospel. So this is what you're here for. You're here because nobody else would speak into your life the truth to cause you to grow up and be the child of God God wants you to be. That's the truth. You can believe that or not, and you don't have to come back if you don't want to. But that's the truth. Now, Barbara, did anybody try to build you up and get you to do what you're doing today? And look where you've been and look where you came from. Well, when she came here, she was a mess. But look what God has done. Do you think I didn't get a little bit discouraged? I said, God? He said, just be patient. Just be patient. I'm working it all out. Well, if you think I haven't said that about her, y'all think I'm going to say about Nancy Willis still. God, not again. But see, grace, because I'm far from perfect. And I know God is saying, oh, God, there she goes again. Just like I do, you guys, he does for me too. There she goes, off another tangent. He reels me back in. Doesn't he reel you back in? Sure he does. I was reading an article today about this young lady. I forgot what kind of a disease she had in her body, but she was one of these children that was, she couldn't follow directions. In other words, she was rebellious. But it was something wrong with her that she couldn't help. And she was 14 years old, and it was on Charisma, maybe when you read it. And she came running after mother. She was crying. She said, Jesus just visited me and told me he loved me. And she said that child crying, it totally changed that child's life. She still has trouble obeying rules and everything, but still in all, it just really did. She goes around telling everybody, Jesus loves me. Even though she's, rebellious and everything, Jesus loves me. And the mother said, you got to read it. It's on Charisma. It's really a touching story. I said that to say this. A lot of people have children that are rebellious, and they don't love them. And so, they don't have anything to build on. The kids don't, because the parents are always, ignorant to them, and they don't understand them. Even though they know what's wrong with them, they still, have a problem with them. And there's no love there. But that little girl, her mother says she's totally changed just because Jesus came visiting her to her. He loved her. Love, wonderful. It's the best thing that could ever happen to you, right? Besides Jesus. All right, now. If we have the David anointing, we will receive the whiplash of righteousness. But it will not negatively affect us, but it shall grow us up in the same stature of Jesus Christ, and we shall go forth with the full knowledge that we are God's anointed Davids, out to do the will of the Father in this end time dispensation. So the whiplash of righteousness is that you're walking with God with all of your heart, soul, spirit, mind, and body, and people are going to come against you because you are righteous. And God said, we're getting ready to suffer the whiplash of righteousness. Now, are you ready? This is why you got this lesson today. Are you ready for that? Are you ready to become against because you're doing the right thing? Well, doesn't the word say that it's okay if you get if you're put down because of for following Jesus? That little fellow there had his little tablet on, and somehow or other he got into Google and had a game on there that shouldn't have been on there, because we watch them, they don't. And Brother Allen saw it, and Brother Allen was praying against it. And I looked there and saw the baby. He got a really ugly look in his face, and then he jumped off his chair and he walked there in front of me, and he said, that devil inside of him knew that he prayed against that game. Isn't that awesome? And he ran out of the sanctuary. I mean, we'll take that off when we get home, but you know, still know, somehow he gets on my computer and sends it to Mars. So he knows how to push the buttons to get where he shouldn't go. But anyhow, you see, that devil in him knew that Alan was praying over that. And Alan didn't look at the baby, didn't touch the baby. Alan stood there in his chair and prayed over that. David spirit. Saul didn't like it. You see this? Do you want that David spirit anointing tonight? Then God's here to give it to you. He wants each one of you to. We've always been bragging we're the remnant church, right? Which we are, because that's what God told us. And I stand on that with everything I have. So if we are the remnant church, then we need the David spirit. We can have no more Saul in us whatsoever. God told me, I'm now in the Lighthouse Church, I'm separating the chaff from the wheat. And the wheat will no longer be with the chaff. The chaff has to go. In other words, if you're going to have a Saul spirit, God's going to take you out. You can't stay here any longer. So then the altar's open. If you want God to touch you with that David anointing, you can go forth and defeat the enemy on every side. If I said anything in here tonight to offend you, take it up with God. Because I didn't mean to offend anybody with anything. I was just trying to tell you the truth of what's going on. I want to ask some of you, I've seen you come in here bound up. Then I watched you really get set free, and now I see you bound up again. What happened? What happened to your David's anointing? Why do you have a Saul anointing now? You have to ask yourself that, because it is truly what's happening in your life. If you miss services all the time, if you sit in the house of God with your face all pruned up, you don't have a David spirit. A Saul spirit has engulfed you once again. I would take that before the Lord. I would not lose my salvation over that. And that's the fact here tonight. This teaching right now is going to separate the wheat, the sheep from the goat.